Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new edition of the USF Pro Insider, episode 58, Tuesday, April the 16th. My name is Rob Howden. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. I do appreciate it. We are looking forward to next week's Barber Motorsports Park event, April 25th, 26th, a special Thursday-Friday event for the drivers in USF Juniors, the first run of the USF Pro Championships presented by Continental Tires. The USF Juniors, all part of the IndyCar Weekend in Birmingham, Alabama, at the fantastic Barber Motorsports Park facility. Again, Thursday, Friday, as I said, we'll be on track, essentially testing and practicing on Thursday. A couple of races on Friday, one coming right after IndyCar, which is exciting. It's always great to get these USF Juniors a chance to be at these IndyCar events, get a feel for what it's like, where they're trying to get to, right? There's the target down the road. I want to be at IndyCar one day, and we'll get them at a fantastic event. Barber Motorsports Park, first and foremost, just a great racetrack and great for their experience for sure. Looking at the schedule, a little bit of a preview here. As we know, NOLA Motorsports Park already done. We already wrapped that up with a race report. But so now looking forward, a little bit of a preview here for Barber Motorsports Park as we head in there with the drivers in USF Juniors. As I said before, Thursday there'll be a couple of tests, unofficial tests. Then we'll have the official practice session followed by the split qualifying, like we did at NOLA. For USF Juniors, we'll qualify them in two groups. They'll get 20 minutes on the racetrack. That way, lots of time on track. A big field, 26-plus drivers. So we want to give them lots of open track so that we're not hindered potentially by yellow flags. That way, by splitting, lots of open racetrack. Get out there. Get those Continentals up to temperature. Find the best pace you can. After all that's done on Thursday, they move forward to Friday. We'll warm up super early. 7:45 warm-up, but two races on the day. 10:15, the first race, the second race at 4:30 in the afternoon, right after IndyCar practice is done. So the place will be packed with fans watching IndyCar. They'll get a chance to see the future stars of that program running in USF Juniors. I think we're all pretty excited about the weekend for sure, heading into USF Juniors, because it was a big one, I think, at NOLA Motorsports Park. Wins, as we know, for Sebastian Weldon, a couple there, Liam McNeely as well. The Englishman was very quick. Max Taylor, third in points coming in. Ariel Elkin for Inter-MS, very impressive debut for them. And D-Force Racing's Vinicius Tassaro putting in a really solid body of work at NOLA to come in P5 in a tie with Jack Jeffers, one of the drivers we know will be a championship contender this year. I do have a couple of guests today on the show, which I think is great. One of them being Liam McNeely, like I talked about. Liam, a young driver, ran GB4 last year, running for J. Howard Driver Development. Out of the gate, pole position at NOLA, got a race win, only 9 points back in the points. This thing's going to be exciting, and to have a very fast Brit here this year in Liam McNeely, I think things are going to be exciting. One of the things about this podcast is to introduce you to a bunch of the drivers who are a part of the USF Pro Championships presented by Continental Tire. And so we're going to go one by one throughout the season. We'll be talking to as many drivers as we possibly can. I'm going to have Max Garcia a little bit later on in the show, but we'll start with my chat today with Liam McNeely. As is always the case, the USF Pro Championships presented by Continental Tire, an international series for sure. Drivers from Australia, New Zealand, South America, of course, Canada quite a bit. A lot from Europe as well. We have a very talented driver coming from London, England this year, 17-year-old Liam McNeely joining me here on this edition of the podcast. One pole and one win at the season opener at NOLA. Actually hit for the cycle. Second, first, and third on the podium all three races of the weekend. Now second place in points. Liam joins me from London. Liam, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you being here on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. Looking forward to it.
Pretty solid opening weekend. I kind of want to dive into NOLA a little bit later, but you got to be pretty pleased with the way that first weekend went.
Yeah, no, definitely. Good to get the first weekend out of the way and get some solid points on the board. So, yeah, no, just, all eyes on Barber in a few weeks and, next week.
Exactly that. Again, 17 years of age, as I said, for Liam. He'll turn 18 this coming Friday. So happy birthday to you. I hope you have a great weekend for the birthday for sure. Obviously, one of the reasons why I love doing these podcasts is because we get new drivers, especially into the USF Juniors program now, that we don't really know about, right? So, we always dive into your past, look at your resume when you first come over here. You did some Ginetta Junior. You finished third last year, the GB4 series. Tell me just a little bit about your racing career. How did it start? Where does the love for motorsports come from? How did you eventually get into racing when you were young?
Yeah, so my dad was sort of a gentleman, sort of amateur driver. So he started, you know, sort of a bit later into his career. And sort of I just picked it up from there and went down to the local go-kart track in the where I was in the UK. And it sort of just went from there. And then, yeah, I did a few years in European karting in the UK. And then I moved into Ginetta Juniors in 2020 and then done that for 3 years. But I was really lucky with the way COVID was. I wasn't actually going to be doing the full season in 2020, but because the season got moved back, my age allowed me to do 2020.
How old, Liam, were you?
I was 14 that year.
Wow.
And then I was, you know, I moved into GB4 in 2023 with Fox Motorsport. And yeah, you know, really, really good year. You know, not many poles, but, you know, a lot of podiums and two wins, which is good. So yeah, no, really enjoyed last year.
Yeah, so you had the success, right? And I think that's great for any young driver. I preach about this a lot, that you want a driver to learn how to win races, maybe lose a lead and get a lead back, you know, fight for that championship kind of a thing. So the bottom line is you move from the you know, the sports car, full-bodied Ginetta Junior Series into GB4. What was that transition like coming? Because normally, let's you know, be honest, here in the U.S., mostly the drivers will come out of karting, right into a school series or right into a formula car. You went to the full body car first. What was the transition like for you going from Ginetta Junior to GB4?
To be honest, the adapting was sort of quite smooth. The Ginetta Junior sort of trained you up really well to, you know, drive any sort of car that you move into, whether that's going to be, you know, maybe a GT car or a single seaters. It sort of, it trains you really well as a young driver to sort of, you know, turn the slicks on and, you know, try and get a good lap time out of it, sort of thing. So yeah, maybe the first few tests were just trying to get, you know, adapting to slicks and wings and stuff like that. But after that, it was, you know, full push and trying to get some good lap times out of the car and stuff like that and just keep working.
Yeah, obviously a lot of iconic karting tracks in the UK. We've had a number of drivers that have come from the UK all the way into IndyCar or whatever it may be, and through our program as well. So you go from karting, you go to Ginetta Junior, you're in GB4. What brings you to the USF Pro Championships? Because obviously if you're in GB4, the logical step running over there is GB3, right? That's the next step up for you. We've had a number of drivers go from GB4 to GB3. We've had a number of drivers come from GB3 this way as well. Obviously, Louis Foster being one of those drivers who was able to win a championship in Pro 2000. Yeah. What brought you over here? Did you start? Were you following the series over here? Were you watching some races online? What was it that, or who maybe was it that brought that, you know, turned your attention overseas?
Well, we've always had sort of an interest to maybe someday do something in America. Like we've come on holiday a lot to sort of the States in the past, so we've always, you know, loved being in the States. And to be honest, with the options in Europe and UK at the moment, there's not, the options aren't as good as the American options with the scholarship. So the scholarship obviously attracts a lot of people out to the US because, you know, it's, you know, a great opportunity to sort of shoot for the stars. And that's sort of why anyone would come over here like myself. So it wasn't actually USF Juniors initially, it was actually USF4. We looked at that, but, you know, USF Pro Championships and USF Juniors just looked the far better option for myself to go up the ladder, really. So that's sort of the main reason. And really, really good opportunity that I've got, and hopefully we can go for it.
Yeah, you know, it's undeniable. Obviously, the scholarship has provided great opportunities, right? You just have to look at a driver like Kyle Kirkwood, who wouldn't have made it to the NTT IndyCar Series had it not been for winning a scholarship at each one of the levels on the way up. And indeed, you know, from GB4, you're looking at GB3 there, potentially to FREC or right to FIA F3. And then we know what the budgets are there, and there's no scholarships to help. So indeed, that's obviously the huge calling card for the USF Pro Championships, and that's to be able to have that scholarship program. Now, you come to the U.S. with good success, right? You had success in Ginetta Junior. You had success in GB4. obviously you're coming here saying, listen, I'm coming over for a reason. I'm coming over to win. You don't know the racetracks. There are some hurdles for you, right? There's things you're going to have to overcome.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are your expectations? What are your goals for this year?
I think just to keep learning and sort of shoot for the scholarship. I don't see why we can't really. I think Jay's helped me a lot, you know, with the transition over to the US, and obviously he's the man that's done it before, sort of where I'm from as well, yeah. In Essex. So he's been really helpful, and you know, I can't really thank him enough for, you know, the opportunity that he's given me. So that's the aim, and hopefully, you know, all the team around me can, you know, we'll go for it, I guess.
Yeah, I remember those days when Jay Howard came over to run what was then the ZTEC F2000 series. I was calling those races too. I've been around a long time, Liam. So I was there. I was there when your team owner came over for the very first time, for sure. So you mentioned coming to the U.S. on family vacation. So that's, I think, I don't know if that's a huge thing, but you've been here before. I don't know how many times you've come. You know, we get a lot of drivers that come from all over the place. They've never been to the U.S. before, right? It's a daunting experience to come into a new culture for the first time. Not that dissimilar to the U.K., but you've been here before. So you got to kind of, you have a feel for coming over. Where did you come before on vacation?
We normally went to the Florida Keys. So,
perfect.
You know, yep. Really down south. And, you know, it was lovely. I've been to Sebring once before. Okay. And that was about it, really. But yeah, you know, I really love the States, and you know, coming on vacation, it's been really nice.
Well, you've made obviously a impact already. You've already been good since you've been over here. Let's talk about that. First and foremost, everything kind of centers on NOLA because you were the quickest driver during spring training back at the end of February. That had to give you lots of confidence coming into the race weekend. 26 drivers in the field, very competitive, as we know. Green to checker on that first. The first and third races, which I was super proud of you guys getting through those two races cleanly. Give me your overall thoughts on NOLA. I got to say, you know, you come out of the gate with the first official pole position of the year. You end up getting a race win. All told, a pretty successful debut.
Yeah, definitely. Couldn't really have asked for much more. You know, maybe to get the pole on Saturday. We didn't actually have that much running on Friday. We had a bit of a electrical gremlin that was okay. That halted our sort of progress in session one and two. So, you know, we had you know, an uphill battle, you know, going into session three and official practice. But you know, we worked really hard, got the car in the right window, going into quali, and you know, managed to hook up a lap. It was pretty good. You know, race one obviously didn't go the best of plan. I think I went a bit early on the start, and that, I think that's you know, just a bit of a learning experience. You know, yeah. My first start in the US, so you know, definitely learned something there. And obviously, race two went really well. You know, got quite lucky with the safety car, but also you know, made it count when I needed to, and you know, got past. Really, really happy with the debut, and you know, obviously a third in race three, you know, had to top it off. So that's
exactly good. Man, three straight podiums. Speaking right now with Liam McNeely, the driver of the number nine for Jay Howard Driver Development, first year in the USF Juniors program. Liam, again, let's talk about the racetrack itself. I'll be honest with you, when we went to NOLA, I'd been there before, you know, a number of years ago, probably 8-9 years ago for an event. I've done a lot of karting events there. It's a fantastic karting facility as well. I wasn't sure what it was going to race like. I'm like, okay, how? Because we had races back before, as I said, we had a number of incidents. I'm like, I just don't know how it's going to race. And I'll say this right now: you guys put on an absolute show. I'm glad we didn't run the S's on the back straightaway. I'm glad we ran that straight run down into turn number 10 because I think that opened up a lot of overtaking there. But you guys were passing in 1, 3, 4, maybe 5 back into turn number 10. What were your thoughts on the racetrack itself?
Really good to drive on, and also the racing was really good. You know, the slipstream and stuff was really powerful. So if you got a good run out of the last corner, you know, you could draft up and get them into one, whether that was the inside or outside, and also down into 10 as well. If you got a good run out of turn 6, you could pass, which was, you know, really good. So yeah, really good track, and you know, bit different going into Barber this weekend.
A bit.
So, it's going to be a bit different, but I think qualifying is going to be a bit more important at Barber. So, yeah. We'll have to hook that up and hopefully, we're near the front.
Yeah. Again, you mentioned the one thing. I'll just one more note on Nola. You mentioned both inside and outside of turn number one. I think that's one of the things that kind of surprised me. The amount of time you were able to get, like, obviously you can make the move to the inside of most corners as long as you kind of take the corner over. But the big run around the outside, because you beat the driver over to the inside of two and then you have the inside of three. I was very surprised by how well that pass worked. But you perfect segue into Barber. That's what we'll wrap this. Let's wrap up with Barber Motorsports Park. You probably couldn't have two different racetracks because, as we know, Nola Motorsports Park, completely flat. Barber Motorsports Park, a roller coaster, essentially. Undulations, the elevation change is unbelievable. I actually messaged you on IG, Liam, after you tested at Barber, because I wanted to get your initial thoughts on it, because it's a pretty wild racetrack. And I know there are a number of tracks in the UK that do have a lot of elevation changes. Give me your thoughts on Barber Motorsports Park the first time you went there.
Yeah, just completely mind blown, to be honest, with the amount of elevation, coming up down to one and then, coming up back to turn two and turn three,
Yeah.
The crest is, pretty mega. And, also it's actually pretty mental when I'm not too sure the corner name, but it comes, I think it might be turn six. Just when you look down to like turn two and turn three, it's like a massive drop, pretty mental. So
right.
Yeah, it's obviously really high speed and only one real big braking zone. So obviously passing's gonna be a lot more difficult than Nola. So we'll have to sort of figure that out and, hopefully qualify at the front, so it shouldn't be much of an issue.
That's very true. Qualifying has always been crucial there. Turn five, the downhill left hander. Is obviously the primary passing opportunity. The one thing about the track is you can pass a little bit as well over in like the eight and nine, that are, I think it's seven and eight, they call it the little right left kind of thing down onto the back straightaway. You can make some moves there. Otherwise, I would say in some of the higher speed tracks, it's more of a commitment racetrack. You guys with less horsepower, would you still call it a commitment track? Because, like you said, you're going to be on the throttle quite a bit. Is it going to take the guts still in USF Juniors?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. When I tested that, it was sort of getting my head around all the blind crests, just trying to find, what's on the other side of it, really. And it took a whole morning really to sort of adjust to the track.
Yeah.
It was a real good day, and our pace was good. So hopefully that can we can bring that into Barber.
Fun weekend, of course, being part of the IndyCar weekend as well. We're on track by ourselves on Thursday. Of course, IndyCar, everybody's going to be rolling in there for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's a Thursday-Friday race for us. What are your thoughts on being there in the IndyCar paddock as well? Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, definitely. It's gonna be pretty good. It's going to be, a whole different sort of perspective that I'm going to have. I'm really looking forward to it, first time on an IndyCar weekend, it's going to be great and looking forward to it.
Let's wrap it all up. We look down the schedule, of course. This will be the second weekend of six. When you look down at some of the other tracks, what are you looking forward to? We've got VIR, Mid-Ohio, Road America, Portland. Is there one that really stands out for you?
I think Road America's, really sticks out to me. Yeah. Quite a long track, but also, a mixture of corners. That's the one that I'm really looking forward to. And, hopefully we can have some tests there in the coming months, and hopefully go well there.
You're gonna love it, trust me. It's one of my favorite tracks completely for driving on, so you're 100% gonna love that track. Long straightaways, a lot of different combinations of corners, and a lot of elevation changes as well. Liam, thank you so much, man, for joining us. I do appreciate it. Again, we're just a week and a half away from being on track, not even that much, being on track at Barber Motorsports Park. But thanks for taking time out of your evening over in the UK. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Rob.
Yeah, fantastic to talk to Liam. I'm really looking forward to what he's going to be able to do throughout the year. Obviously, a cool young man. Good to have him in the paddock with us this year. And again, just taking USF Juniors to the next level, right? That's what I think the great thing is. We've got so many good drivers in that program. You look back at USF Juniors last year, where we had you know, what, 15 drivers, 16. Now we got 26. You know, there's drivers waiting in the wings. We're going to see some drivers later in the season coming, you know, doing one-offs. We're going to get 28 to potentially 30 before the end of the season. The cars are there. The drivers are there. So I'm really excited. And to have Liam in that program, I think just has really amped things up in terms of the level of competition. Speaking of the driver amping up the level of competition, we watched him last year, was not old enough to come and race at St. Petersburg last year, was only 13, turned 14 midseason. Now he's coming into being 15 years of age. Max Garcia, who I'm talking about, which is crazy, ran with Pabst Racing last year, learned a ton. He came out of the gate super strong, as I think we all know, at the Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. Couple of wins there. Surprising himself, I think, to be able to go back-to-back as he did, but nonetheless bringing a point lead into NOLA Motorsports Park. He gets another win in round number three, the first race of the triple header, and rolled that through to three top fives and a point lead heading to Indianapolis in the middle of May. I figured, yo, perfect opportunity to get a chance to talk to you after St. Pete. Let's sit down and talk to Max Garcia. Why not, right? This kid's leading the way in USF 2000. He's put the target on him for sure. He's a driver who's going to be fighting for a title, and it was awesome. Just got a chance to sit down and talk with him today as well. Here's my interview with Max Garcia from Pabst Racing. Well, one of the biggest stories, I think, at the NOLA Motorsports Park weekend was obviously Max Garcia rolling in after the success he had at St. Petersburg, got another win in the opening round of the triple header there in Louisiana. Max, thanks for joining us on the podcast, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries. Awesome to be here, Rob.
In the middle of a couple of races, back to school, like you guys often have to do. But let's first of all talk about the fact, Max, you're coming in this year as a sophomore in the series, ninth place in the standings last year, kind of getting everybody up to speed on who you are. Again, 15 years of age out of Coconut Grove, Florida, one of the drivers we were really interested in watching develop throughout last year. But coming off the sweep of the races at St. Petersburg, you rolled into NOLA. Before we kind of talk about NOLA and the successes you had there and kind of the great racing that we had, did you have a different feeling? You know, obviously you ran through USF 2000 last year, some great finishes, but you didn't get that first win. Was there a major difference in your feeling coming into the race weekend, having finally gotten that those wins you were looking for?
Definitely. I mean, it kind of just felt like the pressure was off. Honestly, yeah. It sounds kind of weird, but it really did feel like the pressure was off, and you know, kind of reset back to zero going into NOLA.
It's wild, right? Because you go back to your days running micro and mini karting. The fact that you weren't able to win in a series, did you ever not do that? like watching you come up in karting, you were always winning races.
Yeah, I think last year was the first year where I actually didn't win during that season, which was tough for me, but it honestly motivated me to work harder for this year. And we kind of expected that. We expected to run up front last year, but you know, we didn't expect to necessarily win the amount of races that we're winning right now. So I think it was fine not winning last year, and it kind of just prepared me for this year.
I think that's what it is, right? You have to have the right expectations and the right goals, and you did that last year. You gained so much experience. Obviously, coming into NOLA, big for you. One win, two podiums. You were in the top five all three races. You lead the points by 16 heading to Indianapolis. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Overall, big weekend at NOLA. Let's talk about it a bit. When you look back at it, were you happy with the way things went, getting a victory and three top fives?
Yeah, super happy. You know, I honestly didn't plan to get that win. It kind of just opened up. I was happy just to run there in third where I was at like going into turn 10. But then, you know, I just saw, you know, the seas part, and I took that opportunity, and then didn't really look back during that win. And then the other races, we kind of, you know, didn't necessarily get out to that lead like we did the first day. And it was a little bit harder to get back by people there.
Yeah, if those of you who are listening didn't have a chance to see it on the USF Pro Championships YouTube channel, the opening race coming down into turn number 10 on the opening lap, Joey Brienz from Exclusive Autosport had the lead. Sam Corey, Max's teammate, made a pretty bold move down the inside, and you would, to try to take the lead in the opening run down into 10, locked the brakes up and blew past the turn-in point. And Max, you were just right there perfectly, way to the left side of the racetrack. You over-undered, and you were able to beat Joey back over to turn number 11, and you know, led from there. And what was impressively a green to checker race. Like you said, you probably didn't think you were going to lead that opening lap, but man, it's good to be in the right spot. And I think that's experience that you were in the right position, right? When that opening occurred.
Yeah, it was all about positioning there. Cause if I would have been, you know, fourth where Evagoras was at that time, I would have only gotten up into third, which is crazy. I won. So it was honestly perfect positioning at that time. And man, we had a fast car. So it was all that much better to get out to that lead.
Let's talk about this too. You know, we look at your weekend, and again, like I said, two podiums, a win, all three, you know, in the top four, actually not even top five, but you were P5 in qualifying. Was the pace just not there out of the gate, or did something happen in qualifying that did you lose a lap, or did something happen?
Well, in the first qualifying, like you said, we were P5, but yeah, it was weird because when we came in to get that new set of tires, we were actually in P1. And we messed up a little bit on air pressure in that second set, and it kind of messed us up because I really only had one lap, and then the tires kind of fell off hard. Yeah. But, you know, we fixed that for the second qualifying, and then obviously that turned out a lot better.
Yeah, you were good to go there. There was some, I would say, some hardcore running, right? We went green to checker in the opening race, as I had said. But at one point you had a couple of good run-ins running hard with Nico Cristadulo. At one point you guys were side by side through 7 and 8 and you went four wheels off, in turn number 8. Was there contact there, or did you just drop the wheel?
There's a little bit of contact there, but okay. You know, it was honestly positioning on my side. Like we keep talking about, it was, not the smartest idea to go on the outside of the fastest corner of the track. Maybe should have waited to turn 10, but you know, it's all right. We came back up, but you know, just to, for Indy and for future races, just knowing, you know, where we are in track and what the passing opportunities look like, just be a little bit smarter with that.
That's interesting, right? Cause that's one of the things you learn in this program. I can just hear one of the guys in the engineering room said, probably saying to you, hey, you put yourself in that position, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
but you're going for it. I get it. You're going for it. But like you said, it's all about positioning, right? That's key.
Yeah, 100%. You know, we were there in third and on a podium position, and we didn't, you know, lose too many points to Evagoras, since, you know, the gap to from third to fourth isn't super large, but still, you know, that podium would have been better to keep that 100% podium rate alive. But it's gone now, so we can just, you know, reset and focus on doing the best we can for the rest of the year.
That's it. That, a learning opportunity for sure. 16-point lead, as I said, heading out of NOLA into the road course at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Look, if you look back at NOLA, and I said this when I was interviewing Liam and talking to him, the racing surprised me. I kind of thought that there was going to be limited passing opportunities. I think running that straight line down, not through the S's to 10, made a big difference. But what were your thoughts on the racing at NOLA? Like, again, we went green to checker for the first race. You were able to get out front and weren't part of any of the action. But, man, I was very impressed. We had a lot of really close racing.
Yeah, obviously taking out those S's helped a lot, because just watching, like, from previous years in the series that do use the S's, it just takes away a great passing opportunity, which is honestly – you know, it's a bad thing for the drivers, because, you know, you might have that run. It's like, oh, he can't pass there. But I thought that the racing was good. The aero wash was a little bad through the high speed corners in the back. But other than that, it was pretty good. And I mean, that's the aero wash kind of in the first race I saw when I rewatched it, kind of settled out second, third and fourth, you know, gave them all, like, it was really weird. They all had about a second gap to each other. And you know, no one could really get that charge up to the next car, which that played in a little bit with aero wash. But at the restarts and starts, it was really, really exciting racing. It was really fun for me because there's, like you said, a lot of passing zones around the track.
What I thought was interesting, somebody brought it up to me later, because I didn't pick it up as I called all nine races on the weekend, but everybody got through turn one on every start and every restart. We had no issues in turn number one, which I thought was interesting, because I figured we'd have a little bit of problems there, but we did not. It was solid all told. Hey, listen, we're essentially five races in, two events into the series for USF 2000. You got that 16-point lead. But obviously there's some pretty serious competition this year, which is exciting. I'll just throw it. I know you mentioned them already, but you know, you're looking at what your competition's done. Evagoras Papasavas has done a really good job. Super consistent. You wanted to keep your podium streak running. He was able to do that. But Evagoras is a driver that you raced with last year too, right? So as a sophomore, you knew coming in he was going to be one of the guys you're going to be battling with.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, he's been really, really consistent through the first three races. He hasn't gotten that win yet, but I can tell it's coming for that team. You know, really, really good driver, really good team. But I think we're just a little bit better this year. So hopefully I can keep getting those wins and he can keep finishing second. I'd be happy with that. But it's going to be really tough this year. Like you said, he's fast at a lot of these tracks, but we're fast at a lot of these tracks. So it's going to be really close this year.
Yeah, a couple of the drivers breaking through for wins, as we know. Sam Corey and Nico Christodoulou getting the win in race number three. Let's move forward now. Get a couple in the books. We're still a ways away, a little under a month away from getting back at it for you guys. The month of May beckons with the road course event at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Then we're on the oval at IRP. Let's talk about the road course in Indianapolis. You know, last year you were quick. I think you qualified fifth. You did have a fourth place finish in race number two. You had that incident down in turn number seven where you flew over top of Elliott Cox or one of the drivers. You had a bit of an issue there in turn number seven. What are your thoughts on the racetrack itself? It's flat. It's like a NOLA that's flat, but it's fast with two really long straightaways.
Yeah, and obviously we need to, you know, the really long straightaways into consideration for car setup, because there's obviously a lot of tight corners where downforce is going to be a big thing, but there's also those really long straightaways where it would help to be trimmed out. So those are the kind of things we need to look at on the test day on Thursday and get sorted out for Friday.
When you trim out, the car gets a bit loose. How are you with a loose car? Are you comfortable when they start trimming out a little bit?
I am. I'm perfectly fine with it. I mean, a good story I like to tell is when we went to IRP last year, it was my first time at Oval, and we were testing, and in the first practice, they loosened that thing up. It was scary almost. I did three laps. I'm pretty sure we went quickest by like 3/10, but I almost put in the wall like three times. And, wow. You know, my spotter, Hunter McElroy, was like, yeah, I think we should come in and change it. That's not going to be safe for 75 laps.
Isn't that wild though? Because, you know, when we talk about it, when you're sitting on the grandstands, I don't think people realize how much on the ragged edge you guys are in both USF 2000 and USF Pro 2000. Because you watch you guys in the race, and I've called them all, and we've had really good green to checker races for the last number of years. We haven't had a big incident at IRP in a number of years, and you guys are up there running against the wall and literally just kind of, you know, at one point hanging on for dear life. Even when, you know, obviously you're talking about the fact that you trimmed it up for a practice run. But even during the race, when the tires start going away, it gets sketchy at the end, doesn't it?
It really does. And that oval is really, really fun. I had a lot of fun there last year, but it's kind of the nature. I mean, and I think the drivers do a really good job with not getting up into each other, knowing that weekend especially is the biggest learning weekend in the whole year. Cause we only go to one oval, and as we progress higher and higher, there's going to be more ovals, and we need to learn, you know, what to do on those ovals. And I think that's why the drivers are a little bit more cautious and a little bit more clean during the race.
I agree with you on that for sure. It's you want to be able to run all those laps because they're so crucial for you. So we're a quarter of the way through the season for you guys, two races down, still six more to come in the eight round or eight weekend program. I would say you probably, you know, if you were to look back and say, hey, listen, this is exactly the start I would like to have had. Are you surprised at all by the start, knowing the competition? Or were you pretty confident coming in knowing how good you did last year? And of course, with the success of Simon as well, winning the championship for Pabst.
I was pretty confident coming in this year, but I didn't expect this at all. You know, three wins in the first five races is insane, you know, and front runner expect like that kind of front running, if you know what I mean. But now we do. And so we just need to continue the rest of the year getting those solid top fives and top threes to finish out the rest of the year and hopefully the championship.
Yeah. I was kind of rolling into the question there because the minute you said that. So I always like to ask if everybody's mindset changes, right? You've won some races out of the gate. Do you start thinking about the championship? Do you start thinking about top threes and top fives or is that like a minor part of the mental side and you're just going to go for race wins and race hard like you normally do?
Well, it was honestly funny because the championship, you know, just getting as much as we can was the mindset coming into NOLA. And it was funny how we ended up getting that win in race one. But I mean, yeah, it changes the mindset, but I'm not going to change how I race at all. You know, if if I have an opportunity to get a win, I will. But if it's sketchy and not, you know, realistic, then I'll, you know, maybe hang back for the second and just gather those points.
Yeah, there's something to be said for learning what your car has, right? And not try to overdrive it. If your car's if it's a third place car, you got to try to take it to second. If it's a second place car, maybe you go for the win. But if you're P5 and that's all you got, you just, if you don't throw it away, that's something that takes you to the championship. And you'll because if you throw it away, you're going to be at Portland looking back like, man, what did I do? Why did I do that? Right?
Exactly. And those, you know, solid, you know, fifth place days are honestly what kind of win the championship when you don't have a fifth place car and it's damage control at a certain point. And then you just kind of got to go back and make the car better to try and go up further the next race.
Let's wrap it up and just talk about the fact that it's Indianapolis. I know you've been there for a couple of fall combines. You had a chance to race there last year, but we're going to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Do you get that tingle when you come under the tunnel and out in the middle of the racetrack?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, I don't know how you just can't. That place is so, so special. Even when no one's there for the fall combine, it's just the best feeling in the world.
That's it. No doubt about it. All right, Max, thank you so much, man. I'll let you get back at it. I appreciate it. Again, we're about a month away from going to Indianapolis. You got a bit of a break, but thanks for coming in and having an interview with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
That is Max Garcia, folks, from Florida, 15 years of age for Pabst Racing, your point leader right now in USF 2000. 3 wins on the season and getting ready to head to the month of May. Well, just awesome to get a chance to talk to two of the stars that we're going to see throughout the 2024 season. Just wrapped up that interview there, as you heard, with Max Garcia earlier in the show, chatting with Liam McNeely. McNeely from J. Howard Driver Development. Max Garcia, of course, with Pabst Racing. Two drivers who I think are going to be in the championship discussion when we get to Portland at the end of August. Both race winners already on the season. And I think lots to come still from both of them. The young American Garcia coming strongly into the 2024 season after his debut in 2023. And then, of course, McNeely and USF Juniors coming in with J. Howard Driver Development immediately right in the middle of the fight with that pole position, a win in race number two. I think he's going to be one of the drivers to watch for as well. We get to Barber Motorsports Park next week. USF Juniors are most definitely going to put a show on there. But the bottom line is this, just a great way to continue to work our way through the podcast, get a chance to meet some of the stars of our program. And I hope you appreciate and enjoying the content I'm putting out. We're going to have another preview show coming in again next week as well. Not so much preview because I talked about Barber Motorsports Park already a little bit. But I do have a driver I want to talk to next week. It'll be Michael Succo Jr., a Birmingham, Alabama driver for VRD Racing and USF Juniors. He's super excited. He gets to run at his home racetrack. We're going to see if we can't chat with Sebastian Weldon as well, the driver who will come into Barber Motorsports Park as the point leader. Two great interviews. Big thank you to Max Garcia and Leah McNeely for joining me here on the show today. Hope you enjoyed it, folks. My name's Rob Howden. Bye for now.